I think we can all get on very well, but each of us requires something different. And for me, somebody that's not going to respect me and my style, I'm going to really struggle to get on with. And that's the one big learning I had when I thought about this question.
Welcome to the Connected Leadership Podcast, hosted by Andy Lapata, the show where Andy and his guests explore the many ways in which relationships impact business decisions, make leaders' jobs easier, and help you to progress your career.
Welcome to the Connected Leadership Podcast. I'm Andy Lapata. Thank you very much for joining me. My guest on Monday's show were John Baker and Jennifer Kalmweiler, and we focused on the topic of introverts and extroverts and how we recognize who we are, what other people are, and how we use that in terms of building professional relationships, engaging with people effectively, and getting the most from our teams. Today, as is usual, the focus is on Jen and John's careers and the role professional relationships have played within those. And I started out by asking John where relationships had had a particularly strong impact on his career to date.
So when I look back over my career and professional relationships I've had with people, is interesting because as an introvert, he says for a second, I look at the most influential people I've ever worked with and they have been extroverts, or in DISC terms, in fact, really big on the I scale, which almost doesn't feel right. But
can you just, for people who don't know DISC, can you just expand on that for them?
Yeah, so essentially DISC has four quadrants where it analyzes your personality, and the D and the I piece are much more, I've got to get it the right way around because I don't use it enough nowadays, much more, so hang on, let's just think about the I and the S pieces are much more people focused, and the S and the Ds are much more task focused, or essentially in a way, kind of introvert, extrovert, although it's not explicitly that. And so the I one is very, very much outgoing, very much driven type kind of person, but also people focused. And the best relationships I've ever had have been people like that, and this is the critical thing, because your question was great, this made me think, that have had the time to stop and respect other styles. And that's the really key point, because I think we can all get on very well, but each of us requires something different. And for me, somebody that's not going to respect me and my style, I'm going to really struggle to get on with. And that's the one big learning I had when I thought about this question.
I love that. Over the year that we've been running the Connected Leadership Podcast, there have been a number of themes that have come up in answer to this question. But I don't think I've had anyone say the people who have stopped and respected and understood. And it fits very much with what you talked about in our Monday podcast in terms of focus on the person, understand the individual as well. So the fact that that's the advice you gave on Monday and then today you're saying that's what impacted you brings the two together really nicely as well. Jen?
I hadn't even thought of it like that, so that's good.
Jen, how about you?
You know, Andy's so good at connecting. I'll tell you, he connects ideas and people. The biggest impact on my career and why, I would say, when I think back on that, Andy, it's the managers I've had who have been both excellent and the worst ones. And when I was a young parent with my first child, I remember I was buying all these books and totally a wreck and trying to do it right. One of my wise women friends who is a mentor said to me, Jennifer, it's what you do that your children are going to learn from more than anything, what they observe. And that stuck with me as I got in the workplace. So I had, a wonderful boss at one point who I learned so much from. I mean, she was incredible in terms of how I, just the content pieces of being a leader. And then I had one of my early bosses who thought my only role at the meetings as the one counselor on staff was to make the coffee and take notes. Now, this was a long time ago, okay. But I had to learn to be assertive from that, eventually speak up. So I those are the pivotal experiences, I think, both very extreme ends of the spectrum. Fantastic mentor/bosses and others who I just wouldn't want to be anything like. And I was able to craft other ways that would really fit me. So that's what comes to mind.
I think I can relate to that. I've shared in the podcast before my Goldilocks and the Three Bosses, where I had in my first job, proper job post uni, I had one boss who was too cold, one boss who was too warm, and one who was just right. And that, you know, I've never professed to have been a good manager, but that definitely influenced how I tried to be. Moving on from there, we can definitely learn from everyone that we've worked with, and it's mm-hmm. nice, because I think that as a question, this has over the year has brought out a lot of examples of what does make a good leader and build mm-hmm. And where leaders can build strong relationships just by guests reflecting on their own experience.
You know, it could be something a manager said to you that stayed with you. Somebody was sharing with me the other day something, and an idea popped in about an experience I had, about being authentic at work. It was a discussion we were having. And I remembered one leader who critiqued me and gave me negative feedback because she said my laugh was too loud. Now, that was 20 years ago.
Wow.
I still remember that, and that really shut me down for a while. I ended up not staying at that firm because it didn't fit, that culture didn't fit, you know, my sense of being, but it really did a number on my self-esteem. So, you know, I think I learned from that too. It's like the power of words that you can have on people.
The other one, just something you just said there, Jen, just reminded me of another bit of an answer I'd give to your question, Andy, which is about the type of people. The people that I've been impacted by the most have been those that, and this, as speakers, this will be no surprise to us, have told most stories. In our normal day-to-day working, the leaders that would chat and put in a relevant story are the ones that had the biggest impact on me. And you said it, Jen, you said the power of words, and it absolutely... Yeah. They've got to be relatable words.
Right, because they share themselves. They share a part of themselves that way, right? Well, what'd you say, Andy?
Absolutely.
Well, over the interview.
That's well, I'll back off here. That's what stories do, isn't it? You know, stories make ideas relatable. Yes. And we all know that. And that's living testament to that. Okay, so that's the good traits, and that's the good leaders. Where have relationships gone wrong for you, and what have you learned from it? Jen, I'm going to ask you to share on this one first.
Yeah, well, related to what we talked about on the podcast about understanding people's personality styles, I remember taking a job where I had a new report. Actually, she had been there and I came in new. And I remember I was so pumped up, ready to start and get going with all these exciting programs. And she, I learned later, was very introverted. I didn't take the time to really assess her personality. And I did what I talked about on the podcast. You know, I ran as fast as I could, kept going faster to try to get her to be enthusiastic. And it had the opposite effect. Until I was kind of put back on course by a wise HR friend and consultant in the company. So I think when I wasn't aware and took the time to really assess what somebody's vibe was like and tried to impose my style on them, that's when I've had the hardest time in work relationships, I would say.
Yeah, and that would make complete sense. It would fit with everything we talked about in the main podcast. And I think all of us have made that mistake at some point, imposing what we find important, how we think things should happen, how we like to converse and engage, and expect other people to follow, when in fact it can rub them up the wrong way. And that goes to the heart of the introvert v extrovert conversation that we had. John, how about for you?
I'm going to jump back to something I was thinking of when we did the Monday podcast, when you were talking about leadership. And my first day in my second ever proper job. It's your fault for reminding me it's that far ago, a minute ago, Andy. But basically, I went into this place and big team meeting, just so happened that was my first day, and everyone was standing around in there. The leader walked in, clicked his fingers, handed out the agenda, and then just proceeded to go through it. And he'd praise the people that were quick and forthcoming and on their feet with answers, despite the fact that I'm kind of hiding in the corner hoping he doesn't ask me anything. And I'm looking at the 3-inch thick pile of, because it was a long time ago, it's when we had paper rather than tablets, 3-inch thick pile of data. And these guys in the corner coming out with these amazingly quick answers, and he's praising them for being quick. And I'm looking in these sheets and going, their answers have got nothing to do with the data. They don't even know the data. And then he'd ask some of the other quieter ones in the team what they thought. And then he would almost be parodying them, almost be being rude about them, because they were stopping and thinking and looking at the data. And now at the time, I just thought, that's a horrible place to work. I really don't want to work there. And I lasted about 6 months before I went and left. But interestingly, lots of the other people had also left during that time. And he was like that, not just in the meetings, he was like that the whole time. And where I've ended up seeing people that work like that, and almost make you believe, that it's you that's wrong and everything, you know, you're misinterpreting and blah. We might almost take it nowadays and call it narcissism, but it was just the way that this particular meeting encapsulated that whole, I'm right, I'm the extrovert, I'm going to praise the extroverts and ignore the introverts kind of thing. And it's not about introvert, extrovert, it is about one style just pretending to be more important than all the others. And they're not all of the different styles, whatever mechanism you use to test that is, all the different styles have got real strengths that we ought to be playing with and bringing out, rather than just trashing people because they don't think and work in the same way as you do.
And you're right, that goes back to my last question on the Monday podcast, which was all about how do you bring the best out of a team, which is a mix of personality styles. And there's been a thread running through the conversation across both podcasts, which is understand the other person, understand their style and adapt. And this is a great example of someone who failed to do that.
Number one, know yourself. It has to start with you.
Yeah.
Right?
But not stop with you. And I think this is where people go.
Be bold, though. But I'd like to just point out something that I've been observing about our conversation. And John, you've noticed several times, has gone back to other ideas and gone deeper. Mm. And Andy, you and I are moving on. I think this is a great meta example of what an introvert does so well, because they think they stop. They think he needed a little time to connect the dots. And but boy, powerful points you're making, John. Yep. And I'm not just buttering you up either.
I was going to say, hang on. You were nice to Andy a minute ago, and then you stopped. So does that mean you're going to stop being nice to me? But seriously, Jen, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of it, and it's a great example of it.
Well, it is a great example. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to claim the center ground, not just because on the video I'm in the middle, but I'm going to claim the center ground as the ambivert here and say that I'll take the best from both of you. Moving on to our final question. I always like to ask our guests to recommend books, talks, podcasts, whatever else it might be that have really either had a big impact on your career over a period of time, or maybe something that's resonated recently. So, John, what stood out for you?
And it's probably a rubbish book in many, many ways, but
good start.
Absolutely. It's the simplest book, and it's definitely had the biggest impact on my leadership life, if I can put it like that. On the first day when I became an area retail manager, I had to drop somebody off at a station, and then I was driving to work. But at the station, I bought a book, and it was The 1 Minute Manager. And there you go. Oh, I remember that. That's really old. And I pulled over in a lay-by, and I was flicking through it. And it's incredibly simple to read, which is probably why I liked it, because I'm simple. But I almost just kept reading it, because it was, oh, wow, this is great. This is great. And I almost never made it to the next store that I was supposed to be visiting, because it was just so good. But then starting to enact that, and then Christmas present that year, all my managers got a copy of it, and they all said the same. It was incredibly powerful because it's simple.
Right.
Yeah, and as someone who's written short books and longer books, can resonate with me. There are different spaces for different books, but Connected Leadership, which was nominated for best short book last year in the Business Book Awards, it's half the length of Just Ask, but it doesn't make it, in my mind, less powerful. Mm. It's just the right vehicle for the right topic at the right time. And when you want to just to get across some simple information that's practical and easy to implement, then that's where you want to go. Yeah. So that's the 1 minute manager. And for you, Jen, what have you got for us?
Okay. Well, my book would be Emotional Intelligence. That book just made a big difference in my life. I had been raised in a culture and through schools where achievement was it, and achievement and intelligence were all about just your grades in school and that kind of thing. And so when I realized that there was so much more to intelligence, backed up by research, you know, in terms of how you know yourself and how you connect with others, it was really almost like a sigh of relief, you know, that, yeah, I knew this is something I just couldn't put my finger on. Je ne sais quoi, you know, but when it happened, there it was. And it's really been a base for me in really assessing how I'm doing, but also how other people are relating to me. It was a benchmark book, Emotional Intelligence. And then I also, just to throw in a few more, I'm a big news junkie, and I like to read particularly trends and business news. I read three newspapers in the morning, the New York Times, the LA Times, because my daughter lives there and I want to know what's going on, but also the Washington Post. And I listen to podcasts. I've always listened to podcasts, but currently some of my favorites are Work Trends, which is a wonderful podcast about what's happening out there, very timely. And I also like Guy Raz's How I Built This, which talks to founders and goes deep on there. So there's a lot more I could provide to people, but great way to learn.
Excellent. A nice mix from the two of you of a couple of classics and some more modern resources as well. So that's perfect. Jen and John, I'll say it again. Thank you very much for joining me. I knew this would be a really interesting topic to explore. And the Monday podcast, if anyone hasn't listened to that, I would highly recommend. And thank you for joining me on the Connected Leadership Podcast.
It's my pleasure, Andy. You are a connector, that I'll say for sure. Thank you for the pleasure.
Loved being here, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks again to Jennifer and John for their time and expertise. I really hope you found that interesting, really building on some of the themes that we talked about in Monday's podcast. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, go to podfollow.com/connected leadership and you can listen to that episode as well. So thanks to both Jen and John. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you again soon on the Connected Leadership Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Leadership Podcast. If you found this valuable, please subscribe, tell your colleagues and friends, share on social media, and post a review on the podcast channel you use to listen to it. And of course, join us again soon for another interesting interview and great connected leadership tips.